I want to begin this morning by telling you about a man by the name of Nicholas Winton. His picture here was taken when he was 104 years old. He was born May 19th, 1909 in Hampstead, England, and passed away on July 1st, 2015 at the age of 106. I want to share with you some things about his life as an illustration of a Bible word, but also to point us to something even greater that someone accomplished on our behalf. But let me tell you a little bit more about Nicholas Winton. I want to begin by telling you about something that his wife found in their attic in 1988. She was rummaging through some things in their attic when she came across this scrapbook. And as she looked through it, she found a dusty record of names and pictures and documents, all relating to something that had happened about 50 years prior to that. And so she took it to her husband. She was not familiar with it. And she showed him this scrapbook, and he kind of passed it away. He passed it off. He gave the general idea of what it all had to do with, but thought the papers really had no current value and suggested that she just get rid of it. "You can't throw these papers away," she said. "These represent the lives of many children." And he would go on to say that he didn't think for a moment that they would be of any interest to anyone after it having taken place so many years, 50 years prior. But he reluctantly agreed to let her explore the matter, and she gave the scrapbook to a Holocaust historian. A newspaper article about this find soon followed, and then a BBC television program featured the contents of this scrapbook and what it commemorated. The scrapbook reveals a story of redemption. So what was it that Nicholas Winton did? He was a London stockbroker in December 1938, when on an impulse he canceled a Swiss skiing vacation to respond to the request of a friend of his that lived in Czechoslovakia. He flew to Prague, Czechoslovakia, and to meet with his friend who was aiding refugees in the Sudetenland, the western region of Czechoslovakia that had been annexed recently by Germany. Once Winton went to Czechoslovakia, what he found was vast camps of refugees living in appalling conditions. The pogroms of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, had recently struck Jewish shops, homes, and synagogues in Germany and Austria. And what that was, the night of broken glass, it was a wave of violent anti-Jewish pogroms which took place on November 9th and 10th, 1938. There was violence against these Jews and others, and it was given this term, the night of broken glass, because of all the broken windows in these shops that were run by Jews. War was looking inevitable, World War II, that is. And escape, especially for children, seemed hopeless. Britain was involved in helping some of these children, of these refugees. In late 1938, it began a program called Kinder Transport to admit unaccompanied Jewish children up to age 17 if they had a host family, and with the offer of a 50-pound warranty for an eventual return ticket. The refugee children's movement in Britain began, and they helped about 10,000 Jewish children. But what Nicholas Winton found was there was no such effort in Czechoslovakia, though the need there was great. And so in his Prague hotel room, he met with terrified parents, desperate to get their children to safety, even though it meant their children would be separated from them. And as their numbers grew, a storefront office was opened, and that got the Gestapo attention. And this met to perilous confrontations, and bribes had to be given. But eventually more than 900 children were registered. And the names and details on 5,000 total children were accumulated. In 1939, Winton left two friends, Trevor Chadwick and Bill Berazzetti, in charge of this effort in Prague. And he returned to London to find foster homes for these children, to raise money and to arrange transportation. They formed, he and a few volunteers, including his mother, formed the British Committee for Refugees from Czechoslovakia, Children's Section. And they enlisted aid from the Refugee Children's Movement, had photos of the children printed, and appealed for funds and foster homes and newspaper ads and church and synagogue bulletins. Hundreds of families volunteered to take these children, and money trickled in from donors, but it wasn't enough to cover the cost of what they hoped to be able to do. And so Nicholas Winton gave of his own means very, very generously. In Prague, Mr. Chadwick quietly worked with the chief of the Gestapo and arranged for forged transit papers and bribes to be passed to key Nazis and Czech railway officials. Mr. Winton sent more money, some for bribes, some to cover expenses for children. These families in Czechoslovakia who were trying to get their children to safety would sell their possessions in order to be able to do that. The red tape and the paperwork seemed endless, but on March 14th, 1939, it all came together. Just hours before Hitler dismembered the Czech provinces of Bohemia and Moravia as a German protectorate, the first 20 children left Prague on a train. Survivors told of searing scenes on the station platform as these parents were putting their children on this train, probably never to see them again. Mr. Winton and his colleagues later arranged for 8 more trains to get the rest of the children out, crossing the Third Reich through Nuremberg and Cologne to the Hook of Holland, then across the North Sea by boat to Harwich, Essex, and on by British rail to the Liverpool Street Station in London, where Nicholas Winton and those foster families would be there to greet those children. Only 7 of the 8 trains made it through. The last in early August, bringing the total of children rescued to 669. About 250 children, the largest group, were on board the last train out on September 1st, 1939. On that day, however, Hitler invaded Poland. All borders controlled by Germany were closed, and Mr. Winton's rescue efforts came to an end. Within hours of the announcement, Winton relayed, the train disappeared. None of the 250 children aboard were ever seen again. All were believed to have perished in concentration camps. Nearly all of the saved children, the 669, were orphans by the end of the war. Their parents killed at Auschwitz or other places. After the war, many remained in Britain. Others returned to Czechoslovakia or immigrated to other countries. Another picture I want to show you is Nicholas Winton with one of the 669 Jewish children whose lives he helped to save. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? He never really explained, but here's a quote from an interview with the New York Times in 2001. He said, "One saw the problem there, that a lot of these children were in danger, and you had to get them to what was called a safe haven, and there was no organization to do that. Why did I do it? Why do people do different things? Some people revel in taking risks, and some go through life taking no risks at all. A Miss Gissing wrote a book about this, Nicholas Winton and the Rescue Generation, Save One Life, Save the World. She said Mr. Winton was incredulous at his fame. Others would compare him to people such as Oscar Schindler or Raoul Wallenberg, but he would shake his head. He didn't want to be put into that camp of folks that had saved so many people during this wartime. She said she tried to assure him that his contribution was immeasurable. And I relate to you this story about Nicholas Winton as an illustration of a beautiful word. It's called redemption. Redemption. He helped to redeem these children from untold horrors leading to their demise. But I share with you his story to illustrate an even greater story of redemption. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind. I want to ask some of the same questions as we unpack the story about Nicholas Winton. Who was he, speaking of Jesus? He is the sinless Son of God, meaning that when he went to the cross to pay the price for our redemption, he wasn't going for his own sins. He was sinless. He's also the offended one. He's not an offender. He is the offended one. He's part of the Godhead, the God that we offend when we sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's who Jesus is. But what did he do? He paid the price for our redemption. The word redemption in the New Testament means a deliverance or a releasing. And it always carries the idea with a price that's paid, a ransom price that is paid. Now notice in the passage, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, that Glenn read for us, his translation used that word, ransom. This word was commonly used of paying a ransom to free a prisoner from his captors or paying the price to free a slave from an evil taskmaster. You see, although Jesus was the offended one, the one against whom we have sinned, he paid the price for our redemption. And the price was his own life, his own blood. Again, 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, only Jesus could pay the price for our redemption. Only the sinless, spotless Son of God, the Lamb of God, could pay the price for our redemption. As he said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what he did. Why did he do it? We know the answer to that question. Because he loves us. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. He lived that verse. But what I want to underscore about this passage is that Jesus didn't just die for his friends. He died for his enemies. Romans 5, 6 through 10. He died for his enemies. He died for all, that all can become his friends and be saved. Titus 2, 14. He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let me go back to Nicholas Winton. Something that happened in 2009. 70 years after the onset of the war that halted his rescue operations, a special train with a locomotive and carriages that dated back to the 1930s reenacted these perilous 1939 journeys. On board that train were some of the original children that were saved, and many of their descendants, whose numbers now exceed 6,000 people. They were met at Liverpool Street Station by Mr. Winton, who had recently turned 100 years old. What I love especially about this is those children, those 669 children, are known as Winton's children. Winton's children. But one day, all of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will be reunited with the one who gave his life to redeem them. And they are called God's children. God's children. In the words of Fanny J. Crosby that we often sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As you think about Nicholas Winton and what he did for those children, I want us to see that we're like those children. We're like those children. A very bleak future, basically headed for destruction, extermination, they were. But someone, he never did really explain why, except that he wanted to help, made a lot of sacrifices in order to make that happen, to redeem them from probable destruction. And that again illustrates what Jesus did for us. His motive was love, because he loved us so much that when we were headed to destruction because of our sins, he went to the cross, and though he was the offended one, he gave himself for us to pay that ransom price of redemption so that you and I can be free and look forward to an eternal home, a reunion as God's children. Are you a child of God? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You can be if you'll surrender your life in obedience to his will. If you'll confess that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you, that you'll turn from your sin and repentance and confess his sweet name and be baptized into Christ, your sins can be washed away by his blood. You can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you've been contemplating that and are ready to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that this morning. If you desire the prayers of the church on your behalf, we want to pray with you and for you. Won't you come together right now as we stand and sing?